All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 70 right now. For the first time in a while, we have on a guest again. We have three-time NAIA champion, Brandon Reed.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man? So, you know, first things first, you just won your third national title recently, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah. I think you were probably one of the most requested guys to have on this podcast. And I know you kind of like just deleted Instagram for a while and you were just kind of like, you know, just focusing on yourself at that point, which I get it. But, you know, yeah. It's nice to have you back. I saw that you got your Instagram account back, so I just hit you up immediately.
Yeah. I definitely needed to, I just needed to like escape for a little bit. So
yeah,
I did.
Yeah. What is it? Just like, you just want to like focus like on life and everything or just.
Yeah, I had a lot going on, and I just needed to get away from everything. And it was my last season, too, so I did that, and it just made me feel a lot better. So
I know we just literally just talked about this, but this year was technically a free year, right? So
yeah.
If you have the opportunity to come back next year, you already said you're not going to, but, you know, do you think you would – there's any chance you could take and possibly cement yourself as a four-timer?
There's no chance for me. I just this year, I dedicated to my dead teammate. He passed away this Christmas, and for me, it was like it was the perfect ending. You know, I held his shirt up after I won nationals, and I was like, you know, this is it. So yeah. For me, it was just the perfect ending.
Yeah, I know that's. That's great. You just got like the fairy tale ending. Like not many people, you know, get that.
Yeah.
I think one person you're looking at who may retire this year, you know, Jordan Burroughs, right?
If there's
anybody that deserves to go out with the Olympic gold, his name has to be first in that list, right?
Yeah.
My teammates are just, my God. All right. I was trying to look at the timer. My teammates are just spamming the group chat about stuff. But yeah, even if we get into this, you know, next up, we have the Olympic trials. Oh, I know you trained with Mason Paris a lot, too. So, you know, obviously, I'm assuming here's your pick for the trials.
He's definitely my pick, 1,000%. Yeah.
So, you know, like a lot of NAIA guys don't really have the access to the best training partners, coaching in general. But, you know, Mason Paris is, you know, I know he gets a lot of hate because he just lost Gable Stevenson. But, you know, that's like. People want to say, like, Gable Stevenson's not the best there is right now. So,
yeah. Like, it is what it is. I mean, he lost to Gable, but people talk, but they don't wrestle Mason. So,
yeah. I'm like, you know, even I was on that a little bit, but, like, that was just because, like, I knew at the end of the day I want to grow my page and, like, you got to post tweets in the end of the day. But, like, I saw guys literally go into Mason Paris's Instagram. And, like, coming at him, like, that's just petty at that point.
Yeah, it's stupid for me. It's stupid.
Yeah. You know, if you saw those – you know, remember the Maryland kids, right, that Gable was wrestling? Yeah, that – it's like people want to, you know, call them fishes. You know, obviously they're not the greatest wrestlers. They're walk-ons. But how many of these guys would actually have the balls to go out there and wrestle them?
Yeah, barely any. Yeah. You know, it's kind of pathetic. Yeah.
Like, I know they're not the greatest, but I'm never going to be the guy to come out there and, like, openly talk trash about them for the sole fact that, like, I know for a fact that if I had to go there against Gable Stevenson, I get dropped on my head. Mason Paris would drop me on my head, and same with Tony Cassiope at that point, you know? Those are literally the three greatest guys there are out there right now.
Yeah. Definitely Mason and Gable, I think, are just – they're just on their own level, man.
Yeah. So – yeah, you know, if Gable walks away from wrestling after this year, you know, the weight class is going to be open to Gwiz, Paris, and Kirk right there. It's going to be
– man.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, I think – man, I don't see him walking away. I don't think he's going to.
I think there has to be someone that can keep him in the sport, you know, whether it's Brent Negum, whether it's like Jordan Burroughs at this point.
Something. He's going to stay. I can feel it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, you know, I think the last thing I want to talk about before we go, like, over, like, your entire career would be, you know, Second national title, you beat Tanner Farmer in the national finals in overtime, right? You hit probably one of the – I remember it was like a stutter fake to like a Polish lat drop.
Yeah.
Hands down like the sexiest move I've ever seen. I don't even know how to like explain it. It was like – it was beautiful just to watch. But, you know, he's into the Olympic draws now, you know? Is he a guy you're going to be watching a little bit? Like, I don't know if you guys are friends or not or, like, don't like each other.
No, yeah, we're cool. I actually messaged him the other day and told him, like, good luck, man, and, like, congratulations. He's a really awesome guy. Really, really, really nice guy. Yeah. Of course, when we were wrestling, I didn't like him, but, you know, it's how it is.
Yeah, it was – I think that was the only one of your matches I could really find online, which is crazy.
I know. It's tough.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I mean, it's probably the most – for me, probably my favorite college match ever. Yeah. So
I know I have a lot of friends that, like – because I go to – I wrestle D2 at Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania. I'm pretty much – you are literally the most known name that's not D1.
Really?
Yeah, and that's, like, that's insane to think about because, like, you know, again, like, you know, your freshman season, you got on the podium at heavyweight, which is just an accomplishment at that. What people don't realize, you know, I know everybody's coming at Gable because he placed third, Paris because he didn't place and all that, but freshman All-Americans at heavyweight class is actually like insane to think about.
Yeah.
And then
wrestling grown men.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't believe that. Like I was on that a little bit. Then I got to college and I'm like, oh, I feel like a JV freshman again, just starting this off. You got to work your way from there. It's like, wow. Because I remember, I saw this podcast with Anthony Ashnault. Like, that's one of the greatest wrestlers in New Jersey history. And he's out there losing in the Rutgers wrestling room every day as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane to think about, right?
So it's tough. Yeah. It's just tough. It's a different level.
Yeah. So what matches are you most excited for, you know, at the Olympic trials?
For me, the number one that comes to my mind is I'm a huge Kyle Snyder fan. Mm-hmm. So – like, that's probably my favorite wrestler ever. And so, Snyder versus Cox. Of course, Mason's my boy. So, you know, I'm really excited to see him and Gwiz or him and Gable.
Yeah. I think him versus Kirkley in the first round is going to be a great match, too.
I think Kirk's he's going to smash.
I mean, I'm a Penn State fan. I can't say that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he wasn't healthy at Big Ten. He's healthy now, I think. I think it's a competitive match. You know, I would have to say Mason Paris takes that, but, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Kirk win.
I would.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that should be a great first-round match. I think Mason and Gable are on their own level, honestly. Lewis, too. Obviously, he beat Mason also. Kirk's really great. Kirk's amazing. You know, I really like watching him wrestle, especially in high school.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he competes.
And again, even with that, it just happens because he's young, you know. In the weight class, Gable was wrestling in with Kassar was probably one of the weaker heavyweight weight classes, you know. I think Kirk plays in – I think I would say Kirk was number five, even though he placed seventh because he lost to Schultz in that match, right? I would say fifth place in this weight class is – better than Gable's third place finish in that weight class.
I agree. That weight class did suck. It was horrible that year.
Yeah. And Kirkley's the only guy to take Gable down this season, too, you know?
That's true. He did have a nice take.
It was nice. But, you know, I think Paris, if he just changes a couple of things, you know, watches out for transitional offense, this match could be his to take. Like, and especially threading 4 points with the dump. Like, I know people are just saying, oh, Gable. Like, Gable has historically, you know, had troubles with gas tank and volume shooters, and a guy who can play the edge very well is going to possibly threaten him, right?
I think so. I think that's why Gwiz is scary, man. I think Gwiz is he's a sleeper.
And in the best out of three, too, who's like
– yeah.
He could very well go either way. So I know you talked about Kyle Snyder versus Jaden Cox, you know, again – you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of Kyle Snyder when I started wrestling just because I didn't like the super small guys because I was just never one of those and I could just never do stuff they did. And it just came to the point where, like, it would be annoying just having guys on your ankles the entire time, you know, and then – but watching him wrestle, it's like – I know people are hyping up Jaden Cox. It looks like Snyder could Snyder looks like the favorite, to be honest there. Like,
you know, I think so too, man. I think like, long shot.
Yeah. Honestly. And the problem with that is, like, the only matchup they have in common is a 6-1 win over Nate Jackson. That just makes it more interesting right there.
That is, and they haven't wrestled since, what, freshman year of college for Snyder?
And then, sophomore year for Cox. You know, Cox was a huge favorite there also, which people don't talk about.
Yeah.
Snyder's been the one guy to be able to neutralize his offense, and, you know, chances are it's going to be like a 1-0 match every single time. And if Snyder scores a takedown, it's going to be a long day for Jaden Cox right there.
I think so, too. I just can't see Jaden beating him. I just can't. I separation.
And another match I want to talk about, I don't know if you looked into this or not, but Colin Moore has the 1 seed in the challenge tournament.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You may have seen it, may have not, but Colin Moore was a freshman, and Jaden Cox was a senior, I think it was. They wrestled.
I saw it.
6-4 match. Nice
drag. Yeah,
that takedown was beautiful. I know not many people are going to say, oh, Cox at a new level, but Colin Moore's been tearing it up on the international scene too. Like,
yes.
Like, I don't think anybody here is a lock.
I don't think so either. I would like to see Colin. I love Ohio State. Like, if anyone asks me what my favorite Division I team is, it's Ohio State, USU for sure. And I think I hope Colin Moore upsets Jaden Cox, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, I also don't see Jaden running through him like people are talking about, you know? Again, Moore hasn't had the greatest college career, you know? He's like the one guy you truly feel bad for about the year off because he's been so close so many times. This looks like the 1 year he's about to get it, you know? And a guy like Mark Hall already got his title, Chen's already got his title, all that. It's like Moore was like the one definite lock that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like sad to see that happen too. But wrestling with is Coach Myers or something like that he practices with. Yeah, he's looking like a force at 97. Like,
I think so too. He's looking big.
Yeah, it's incredible. But so I think this time to hop into like your career. So, you know, high school, if you just want to like briefly what happened there.
Yeah. So, I started wrestling in high school, actually. I was a ninth grader when I started wrestling. So the story goes I tried to join the football team. I didn't make it. So the defensive coordinator, Gary Cole, he offered to let me wrestle, and I started wrestling. I lost a bunch of weight. I was 270, and then I got down to 220. So I started wrestling. My first year of wrestling, I was 4-14. And
was it on varsity or?
Yeah, varsity. Our school wasn't very big. I'm from Kentucky, so the wrestling's not incredibly prominent here. So I was 4-14 my freshman year. The next year, my sophomore year, I was, I guess, like 40-5 or something like that.
Whoa.
And
you went from 4-14 to 40-5.
Yeah.
So what do you think really changed between those years, just in general?
I trained a lot during the summer. Mm-hmm. So I fell in love with wrestling. And there was a guy named Grant Ullman. He was a state champ. And he was at one of the private schools in my area. And we somehow got connected through wrestling, as it happens. And he offered to train me for free, like 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And so he would pick me up. We would go train 3 times a week. And that was the whole summer. And then coming back, I got really good at the stuff he taught me. And I ended up making it to state finals. And that's why I was 40-5. Yep. That year I lost to Austin Myers there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who that is. But
yeah, I do. I've heard of him. He was good.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up question on this, right? So you see a lot of these high school kids, you know, you have some kids, you have the smaller kids who are blessed with athleticism. If you ever saw Jaden Cox wrestle heavyweight in high school, right? You have these bigger kids like Seth Nevels, like their whole family, Adam Kuhn in high school, who would just body you because they're freaks of nature. And then you have these kids like, say, I'm assuming yourself freshman year, like, Did you always know the natural talent was there? You just had to put in a little bit of work and like uncover that, or was it just like you were like that slob of a person, and then you just shaped yourself into what you are today?
I think I had a lot of natural talent for sure. Like, I feel like I was always pretty explosive and always pretty fast. And whenever I lost all of that weight, it just, you know, it's like I committed my mindset to being that type of like wrestler. Mm-hmm. So like from like that young age, so I had the natural talent. And then like, yeah, like you said, I really embraced that like style when I was like younger. So that's kind of where I am now because of it.
So you went 40-5 as a sophomore after going 4-14. Like that's something really you only see at like a heavyweight class just in general. Cause
for sure.
I mean, yeah, that's insane just in general. But in that weight class, you know, what are you, a 14-year-old kid at that point competing with like 18-19-year-old grown men, like all the way at the top?
Yes.
You know, I know. I would say Jersey is an example, but we had a freshman just win the state title, Jimmy Mullen, last season. You know, 15-year-old freshman mm-hmm. comes out. You know, he was expected to be a pick, but he was the 13th seed coming to state. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I think his closest match was a 7-3 decision in state finals.
Dang.
And now he's ranked number one in the country like that. It's absolutely insane. And like,
that is insane.
Yeah, it's like he was bred from a young age to be a heavyweight, and that's like, he's not like overly jacked or anything, but you don't see like these upper weights chain wrestling so well until you get to the college level. If a guy shoots on you and you try to sit the corner on them in high school, like they don't know what to do.
They have no idea.
Yeah.
They don't know how to handle it either. That's it.
I think that helped me a lot coming to college because like I ran this page, like I see so much wrestling on a daily basis, like to the point where like I have so much situational awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That like, even when I don't train stuff, like I know what to do in every position, so I have like a general basis of knowing how to survive situations. Because I went 26-10 my senior year, you know. Obviously, I threw away a couple mm-hmm. matches that I should have won, but coming into college, like I have like a whole ass Pennsylvania state champ who's 2 years older than me that I'm wrestling. You know, on paper it looks like he should bully me, right? And then I'm out here like we're doing 1 minute goes. I'm like, okay, he's just taking me down, but I'm making him work for it, you know, like I'm putting him in different positions that he's normally not put in.
Yeah.
Like those are the ways you have to win matches in college.
That is. College is a lot different. Like my technical level is insanely different than when I was in high school.
That's like absolutely insane. Cause I know you were talking about that one guy that you got to meet up with. He would train you for free, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when I first started this podcast, like, I was just doing it with, like, guys who subscribed to me because I would think, like, there's no real chance, like, any of these high-level guys would actually want to come on and talk to a 17-year-old kid, right?
Yeah.
But then I realized my platform, like, Don Bradley reached out to me, right? He's like, hey, I love your podcast. I'm like, you want to come on for an episode? I talk to 2 hours, and I get to pick the brain, like, of a guy who's been on that level. Like, he's going to third Olympic trials right now. He's probably one of the smartest guys in that scene. And that just seems like surreal to me, just getting those experiences.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome, man.
Yeah. Dude, I put out April Fool's thing today morning that I was selling the page. Yeah, I lost like 7 or 8 followers, but I'm keeping it up.
Yeah, it's like, don't sell your page. I think you're probably within like a year or 2 years, your page is going to be super, super huge.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, I've been uploading like 10 times a day now.
Yeah, dude, you're working. Yeah. You've been working.
Yeah. You know, my goal, again, at the end of the day, is to run a successful YouTube channel, maybe run a store, you know, make enough to make a living off of this page so I can just, you know, you said you're going to become coach after college, right? You have to do what you love as a job.
Yeah.
That's essentially exactly what I want to do, you know? And again, it's a long shot at this point, but, you know, hopefully it happens.
Good things only happen to people who are persistent, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm open, man, but so going into your junior year of high school.
Yeah. So junior year of high school, I did pretty good. I was 38-0 going into state, and then I lost. I got upset in the quarters. Some guy just rolled legs on me, and I had no idea what to do. And so I lost by a stalling point. I lost. Mm-hmm. Obviously I wrestled back and placed third. It was a crazy year, to be honest.
Did the guy you lost to, did he win?
Yeah, he won state. His name was Garrett Chandler. He's from Mel High School in Kentucky. And he was a decent wrestler. He wasn't very good, I guess, but he wasn't bad either. He just – and no one got a takedown in the match, and he just rolled legs on me. And you know how it is, like high school heavyweights, you know, the non-elite ones were just like, how the hell do I – How do I react when someone got legs in on me?
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't have the greatest coaching.
Yeah, and this is a trend you're seeing, like, a lot more at the college level, like heavyweights riding legs, you know? I think one of the most obvious ones is Trent Hilger from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And Thor. Yeah, dude. Like, he probably has to be one of the most underrated guys right now. And same with Orndorff from Ohio State.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't see how Trent Hilger is underrated. It's crazy.
It's like you take one loss to Luke Luffman, you know. That loss was essentially decided off of a stalling call, off a guy who's just waving at your legs, right? Mm. I think that's one of the things that I don't like about the college rules, but again, it's kind of whatever. It's like guys can wave at your legs and just walk forward just because it's a heavyweight, right? Like guys at that level know how to shoot, know how to get below the ankles at the D1 level, right? Waving at your leg should not count as a shot because you're essentially just pushing him out of bounds with no intention to score. So it's like – and, you know, he comes back dominantly because, you know, I remember I made this statement that guys are all Americans because they show up in March, not because they wrestle to an elite level the entire season.
Yeah.
And you saw that with a lot of guys, you know. What's his name? Jordan Wood didn't All-American. And that was probably the craziest one to me.
That now was super crazy.
Yeah. I remember he got the Air Force guy, Wyatt Hendrickson. You know, I was watching the first round. He pinned Luffman from Illinois in like under a minute. Mm-hmm. And then he was giving Gable Stevenson a solid fight. So I was like, he tossed Jordan Wood on his back for 6. And then Wood couldn't make the comeback. And then that was like, wow.
It's hard
to make that comeback. It's just unlucky, right? You know, I'm not sure if you know these guys, but yeah, Christian Lance and Zach Elam from Mizzou. Yeah, I'm not sure if you I remember I thought it was on Bradley. Like he was telling me like how wild of a match that was. Like you were storming to make like an insane comeback. It was like a 12-15 match or something like that.
Yeah, it was. I took him down like 5 times in the second and third period.
Yeah, that's insane. I remember the one thing when I looked at you, I'm like, how is this dude not like a D1 All-American by now? And this is like before I knew anything like about you, because when I started this page, all I knew was Adam Kuhn, Kyle Snyder, Gable Stevenson. That was literally it.
Yeah.
And then I got opened up to more and more about this, and I'm like, wow, this is – there's so much more of this than I actually thought.
There is, man. Yeah,
so.
Senior year, I didn't wrestle, actually. I transferred to a school called Spencer County, and I moved in with my high school coach, Coach McKenna. And this was actually in People's Magazine or whatever. They talked about it, I guess, a few years ago. And I moved in with him so I could go train, you know, get better training and stuff and prepare for Fargo and stuff. But in Kentucky, there's a rule that if you move and it's not with your legal parents, then you're not allowed to wrestle. So me and him kind of weighed out the options, and we were like, state title or, you know, place at Fargo, get a full ride to college. And so I was like, okay, I want to place at Fargo. It's one of my biggest goals, whatever. And so I moved with him, started training there. Got to train with a lot of good guys, well, you know, Kentucky good guys. And I just had lots of, like, opportunities to go train. And thankfully because of that, because of the location, and I ended up placing 7th in freestyle at Fargo that year.
Okay.
And I never got to wrestle that. I didn't wrestle state that year. So.
Something banging on my door right now. All right. Give me like half a second. I'm just going to check the door real quick.
Yeah.
All right, my bad about that. I got to cut that out of the podcast now. That was my RA.
That's good. You're totally good.
All right, yeah. We were senior year of high school, you know, 7th at Fargo. That's pretty good. Like, were there any notable guys in your weight class that year?
Let me think. Wait a second. I think Cassiope, Brandon Metz. Cassiope won. Brandon Metz got second. Who else? I mean, I guess I don't really remember the other guys. Paul Robinson from Georgia, he was pretty good. Other than that, Austin, dang, what was his name? I don't know. I can't remember. I know Cassiope and Brandon Metz were two guys.
Austin Marsden? Or no, was that a little bit older?
Yeah, he's a little bit older. It was a guy who wrestled at Nebraska. He's one of their backups now. Austin something.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Yeah, so really young too.
Yeah. Really so, too again, young. Yeah, Metz is like, you know, he's at the D1 level, is top 32 in the country, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he was going to make it even further than that, but Cassiope, people forget how good Cassiope actually is just because he's
really good.
A tier two heavyweight, if you could even say that at this point.
Yeah, he's really
good. Yeah. Like, now I see, like, his style is evolving. Like, you know, before it was just, like, the wrist roll and then snap single.
Snap.
Now you see him hitting knees, being able to scramble. And it's not just the smaller guys that are evolving. It's, like, the bigger guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something.
He's awesome. Man.
Yeah. Like, you know, the fact that he didn't qualify for the Olympic trials is, like, kind of sucks, but.
It's whatever. What it is.
You know, he's going to be there in 2024, you know, when guys like Don Bradley, Tony Nelson. I'm assuming Tony and Dom are probably going to announce their retirement if they don't take the spot.
I would probably hope so. They're getting a little old.
Yeah. I know Dom said he was just in this because, you know, he just wants to wrestle. And given his 4 seed, like, Gwizdowski's a winnable match for him. Like, we've seen it time and time again.
Yeah, he's beat him once, I think, back in 2000 or something.
I think he's beat him a good amount of times. He almost teched him, I think, the one time.
Dang.
At the Flow Wrestling America's Cup, I think it was, Gwizdowski beat him 3-0.
Yeah.
And
that was super close.
You know, that Gwizdowski I saw that day was a lot better than the Gwizdowski I saw versus Mason Paris and Gable Stevenson at the RTC Cup.
Yeah. I kind of always wonder what goes on in Gwiz's mind. He's pretty inconsistent, like, the way he wrestles.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, that's a win for Gwiz because he qualified the spot. You know, he has the 1 seed locked up. Mm. My thought process was he would want to get a match against Paris, Gable, Dom. I think Tony would be a little bit easier of a match for him just because style-wise, Tony doesn't present, like, any immediate threats. But
they wrestled at Iowa Hawkeye, the Hawkeye Wrestling Club event.
Oh, that was Cassiope, yeah. I mean, again, Cassiope is good, but Gwiz is just a guy who's going to essentially take advantage of everything Cassiope has.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Nelson – you know, Gwiz matches up great against him. What really surprised me is if you ever watched the Nittany Lion wrestling cards, right, that they put on Rockfin, it was a Wolfpack versus Penn State. So this is when the thought process started going through my mind. Gwizdowski didn't wrestle Kirk Fleet in that.
And yeah, he didn't.
So I kind of – because, you know, at the end of the day, like, theoretically, I would say the top 6 guys in the weight class can win. Just things need to go their way, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody's going to be like Gwiz Gable final, right? And that's probably 90% of the time going to be the outcome.
Yeah.
But we see it time and time again, guys who shouldn't get spots get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just like you said, Kirk could possibly beat Mason, you know? You never know.
Yeah. And
could go on a run. Like, it happens every year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Frank Molinaro wasn't supposed to be our Olympian in 2016, but – It happens.
You know, I don't want to say it, but, you know, I know everybody was hyping up AJ Ferrari before Nationals, but, you know, if he does get on a hot streak.
Hey, I like him, man.
Yeah, I like him too. Like, I know we were all talking about him grabbing that dude's dick during the dual meet, but, you know, talking to Gable Steveson like that. But at the end of the day, he knows what he's doing. I think most people know what he's doing. He's just trying to grow his following so he can start a brand. NCAA is changing the rules. You can make money off your stuff right now, and he's went from 20,000 to 50,000 followers now, and he's verified.
Yeah, he's a stud, man. Yeah.
He's doing something right.
Personally, he was my favorite wrestler this year at the NCAAs, besides Mason, you know. Yeah. Besides Mason, he was definitely – I like his swagger. It's funny.
Yeah. Mason had a crazy impressive showing, too. It's just like when you get to the finals, it's like – but considering that he didn't place at the last tournament he was at, as a five seed, like, that has to be weighed out.
He trained hard, man. Yeah, perspective is, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But, yeah, like you said, he didn't even place before, and now he's a finalist. Yeah, it's his second year.
That's rare to happen, you know. And even if you go back to freshman heavyweights, like, all the greats didn't place that high on the podium. I remember – Zach Ray placed fourth, then won it his junior year. Tony Nelson placed seventh as a freshman, won it the next 2 years. Nick Gwizdowski, people don't even remember, he was at Binghamton as a freshman. He placed eighth in the country.
Yeah, and then won it.
Yeah, he was – and, you know, you can say that, but, like, if that match against Kausner was wrestled 10 times, I would say most of them go in Gwiz's favor right there.
Yeah, same. I'm happy he didn't, though. I said, I love Snyder. Big match.
I'll be honest, the one that kind of made me sad was Adam Kuhn in 2018, you know?
Really?
It sucks. No, it sucks to see a guy of that caliber go out like that, just never win the title. And that's no fault of his own. He lost 2 1-point matches to, I think we can say, the two greatest heavyweights we've seen roam the college ranks at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and Gable's, he was injured his junior. Yeah, Gable is not done with his career, you know?
Yeah.
And he lost it. You know, I was watching the post-match interview. I don't think you may have seen that, may have not, but he said, I don't like the results, but I can accept them because I went out on my terms.
Yeah, he did. But he didn't quit. He was hurt.
Yeah, and I low-key cried after that. Like, I felt so bad. I know that sounds weird to say, but, like, he was, like, legit my favorite wrestler because, you know, there's two things you can like to see. It's like, which is more entertaining, watching Spencer Lee just dice people up technically and just turn them at will, or watching Gable Steveson drop a dude on his head?
Gable for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, better. I know there was this whole controversy about the Hodge too. It's like,
yeah,
always going to be biased towards lightweights.
Yeah, which sucks. I agree. I think there should only be one Hodge winner still. Yeah. Like, that's my
– I still would say that Gable should have won that. You know, that's for the sole fact that people were saying Gable won a watered-down weight class.
What? It was tough this year.
And, you know, it's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings when I say it, but, you know, there was one guy who won a watered-down weight class, and that was Spencer Lee.
Oh, yeah, he did. We all know it. You know, Cornell wasn't there. Princeton wasn't there.
It's like –
a lot of the guys were there, so.
Yeah, and that's at the end of the day. It's like Lee had one more pin. Gable had – there's five wrestlers at heavyweight qualified for the Olympic trials, right?
Yeah.
One of them didn't even make it to the blood round.
Right.
And that just speaks to depth. Like, Spencer Lee is the one who's qualified, and he just gets an automatic bid, right?
Yeah.
Nobody else at 125 is qualified for the trials.
It's weak. It's young.
That's just crazy to think about. Like, you know, I know everybody was bringing up the two torn ACLs, but, you know, you walk back to 2011, Anthony Robles.
Yeah.
You know, with that precedent being set, if they gave Robles the Hodge, maybe, but they didn't.
Yeah, and in my opinion, you know, like, I know personally, it doesn't matter what division. Lots of us wrestle, you know, and lots of us win. Mm-hmm. With bad injuries, and I know it sucks to say, I'm not trying to take away from Spencer Lee, but like personally for me, like when I wrestled Tanner Farmer, I tore my ACL and my LCL, and that's why I was wearing the bandage on my knee.
Oh wow, yeah,
yeah. But it's, I know it's not, I'm not the only one, you know what I'm saying? But it's, for me, it's like kind of publicity stunt a little bit. And yeah, he did get hurt, but you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, if you know how to wrestle, you know how to wrestle.
Yeah. And
Gable deserved the hurts, man.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's weird. I wanted to go out and say that, but then I just look like an asshole. If I say something, I'm like, the torn ACLs don't matter. It's like, because for all you know, Gable could have been going through a bunch of injuries also. You know, he just didn't say anything. Because then he tries to carry around like these. He's like this. I don't want to say like prima donna, but he's like, he carries himself around like because he knows he's the best, right?
Yeah.
Last thing he wants to do is let people know he's injured, and then this may be their one shot to come at him.
Yeah, man. I agree. That's also what I love about Gable, man. He's also one of my favorite wrestlers. Mm-hmm. He acts good and he is good, and it's great.
Yeah, no, you know, again, I know people come at him about the cockiness and everything, but at the end of the day, like, until somebody can do something about it, it's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. I think, I don't know, I like swagger. I like wrestlers who have swagger. Mm-hmm. That's why I like AJ Ferrari, Gable. I love him.
People were coming at AJ too, and like, it's crazy that he won a title as a true freshman and he could literally go down as one of the all-time greats in college wrestling and people are still hating on him.
I know. I can see it. I can see him becoming a four-timer, honestly. He's so good, man. Oh, crap. That's right.
Yeah.
This year, I keep forgetting that, but it doesn't count.
Him and Carter Starachi from Penn State can be five – or the only ones –
man, that might be my least favorite national champ, man. I don't really vibe with Carter Starachi.
Really?
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't. Not a fan of this.
Even as a Penn State fan, I think there was one guy I counted out from winning, and that was Starachi. Because he lost to Kemmerer 7-1 the week before, 2 weeks before at Big Ten.
Yeah, what the heck, Kemmerer? I don't understand. For me, it's something I was thinking about, and I'm sure lots of wrestlers think about this, is like, I mean, I get it. Like, you can game plan and stuff, but I feel like there has to be something mentally wrong with, like, you know, Kimmer, like, his planning and his mindset, because that shouldn't happen. Like, you shouldn't lose to someone you beat 7-1, or if you
– it should.
I don't know. It's something's like, going on there.
At the end of the day, you know, to be a four-timer, most of the time you need a little bit of luck.
Of course. Yeah. Except
unless you're Kale Sanderson, like this god who just handled everybody every year, right?
Yeah.
Like even it's Logan Steenberg got just gifted low key in that final against Jordan Oliver, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, if you talk about Logan Steenberg becoming a four timer, you don't see people talking about, oh, JL was robbed and this and that. You know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but again, it's not going to hurt his legacy.
It's not. He's a four time national champ forever. It doesn't matter. And he's watching it, so. Mm-hmm.
And actually, I wanted to just get your opinion on this. So, United World Wrestling is releasing a documentary on Rulon Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Just, what's your thought on that, Matt?
Yeah.
I don't know how to start this question.
The finals match where Rulon won?
Mm-hmm.
For one, I'm just not a big Greco fan. And that match is like for me, it's like the epitome of what's wrong with Greco, like the way that match was won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think as much as like I want to say like I want to love Rulon Gardner and stuff like that, it's so hard for me to like feel like those type of matches are super legitimate or even interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, he won. He did, but Just not.
What's it called? Like, even if you're watching a lot of Greco matches, you know, obviously, you know who Mijan Lopez is from Cuba, right? Going for his fourth Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
And Kale from Turkey, right? Those two guys have cemented themselves in a class of their own, right? Look at these normal Greco matches. A heavyweight, most of them, people were like, oh, Rulon only won by a point because he stalled. Like, He won by a point, yes, because Karell broke the clinch. But again, I'm going to call BS any day that the greatest wrestler of all time didn't know about a rule change when it was a situation you're going to get put in. Like, you get put in the clinch and the person who break the clinch would give up a point for fleeing the hold, because that's essentially what that was. But at the end of the day, Rulon kind of gassed him out at the end. Like, and Karella said it himself in the interview that, "I made an unfortunate mistake, but I did not have the strength to continue and change the course of the match."
Damn. I did not know that he said that.
Yeah, I think he was in one of the interviews, because I've been posting like IGTV videos of, like, I just screen record stuff on YouTube at this point. But he was talking, like, it's crazy that he carries himself at such a high level, and that if he never really, he said, "To this day, I don't know how to comment on the match." And you just have everybody else out there going to make excuses for him. It's like, it's not like Rulon came out and bragged about the match or anything, right? Like, obviously he turned into like a celebrity afterwards, for the sole fact that, like, you beat the greatest there ever was in the sport. You know, unless Lopez wins his fourth, I would have to give it to him.
Yeah.
I think it's close, but.
Yeah, I think it's close too. I think Lopez has to wrestle that Turkish guy, right?
Yep, and he probably teched him 2016.
Oh.
He was 6-0, yeah. And then he caught something at the end.
Dang.
Yeah. So, I think the problem with this is there's no accurate way to judge, because, again, there was a controversy about him throwing matches for money in the world finals and all that. And then he would lose to Riza Kale from Turkey, like, every time, right? And then the Olympics – he was like, okay, and then he just comes out there and dominates.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised. Any of those, like, Cuban, Turkey, Russia, any of, like, their systems are probably a little bit different than ours.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
You know? That's just truly sad to see, because his legacy would just never live up to Karelin, just for that sole fact.
Yeah, he hasn't won a bunch of worlds along with his Olympics.
Yeah. Before Olympics has only happened once before, by Akira Icha from Japan, right? He would be the first ever male wrestler to accomplish that. Yep. If you go male wrestlers, who's in the class of three Olympic gold medals? You have Satiev from, I think Russia was, and then you have Karelin from Russia, right?
Yep.
Now, if we talk about guys who could win 3 to 4 now, there's really only one guy in the talk, and that's Sanjuliyev.
Yeah, man. I don't think Sajulai is going to win, though, honestly.
You have Snyder winning it?
I hope. I don't think he's winning it. I'm calling it.
You're calling big Snyder upset. Over Sajulai? All right.
Snyder picks out Kyle.
I try to be a huge Kyle Snyder fan, but I don't know if Sajulai will ever lose in his career again.
You think so?
I think there's a chance that Sajulai will go 125 kilos in 2024. Just to cement his legacy as the GOAT. He was and people make excuses, I think, for Jaden Cox. Sajulai was in the weight class 86 that year in the Olympics in 2016. But that Sajulai is nowhere near as good as the one we're seeing now.
No, and Cox got pinned, actually, at the Olympics that year.
Yeah.
He got pinned he got dumped or something. Yeah. I remember that. He got pinned. Good. He wasn't close to making it.
It's insane, because I know, again, like, Cox, you know, I think he was – people picked Bo Nickel to beat him in that final X match.
No way, man.
The polls went – I think it was 75 to 25%. And that just seemed like Cox kind of went from the most underrated wrestler in the U.S. to, like, most overrated wrestler, if you could even say that at that point. Because he teched his way through – 92 kilos. You know, it's been proven time and time again that non-Olympic weight classes aren't as good as Olympic weight classes.
No, that's why, honestly, like, I get it. Kyle Dake, man, I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to believe he's going to beat Burrows. Yeah. I know lots of people think it's happening, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening, I think.
I'll be honest. My pick was I had Isaiah Martinez beating Kyle Dake in that match, but –
Dude, me too, actually. I love Ivar, really? Man.
Dude, I'll be honest. He's probably one of my most favorite college wrestlers of all time. His legacy is just going to get so shit on because of Vincenzo Joseph, but he was probably the closest to being a four-timer you will get, except for, like, if you go back to, like, Dan Gable and stuff like that. He was two matches away from being a four-timer, you know? And it's not like Chenzo just beat him. Like, they were going back and forth every single year. He just didn't win at the right time. Except for one
time. Yeah, that's – dang. Yeah, I love Imar. I always have ever since I saw, like, that To Hell and Back film on Flow. You know, he is definitely probably my favorite. And I'd say my favorite, like, Final X, even though Final X is kind of newer. Yeah, my favorite Final X series – Imar. No.
And I think the one thing said about that is he could have won the first match too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, yeah. You know, I've said it again and again, but like I will never pick against Burrows in a third match if that happens.
Yeah, that's just, he does have that
too. Yeah, like he said third match is decided by heart. He's proven it time and time again. Nobody has more than he does.
Yeah. Yeah, have you seen that King of the Jungle? I think there's like a little video of there's like a King of the Jungle video of Burrows.
I think I've seen.
It's like,
yeah, I think I've seen everything on Jordan Burrows at this point.
Yeah, and he it's just like that video just shows the best. Like, man, he gets after it. And for that reason, I don't know, man. I don't think Dick's got it in him to beat him three matches or two matches in a row.
I think. His will is going to – once Burrows takes him down once, his will is just going to start going down after and after that.
I agree.
My fairy tale thing is – because I started to – I picked Kyle Dake to win like a while back, but then I started watching more and more of these, and I'm like, that just shows how less and less of respect I kind of have for him after all that. He's like, your time's coming. But Dake's 28. Dake's like 29 now. Like, he's not any younger.
No, he's like 2 years, 3 years younger.
And it would be absolutely crazy if Kyle Dake and David Taylor never made an Olympic team.
It's not happening. David Taylor's making the team.
Gabe Dean is looking fantastic. He's looking like he's peaking right now.
Like, he is peaking, but I don't think so.
I think he's my pick right now because I just don't think he's going to let it slip. I do think he takes the Olympics. I think Yazdani, if he meets him in the finals, is going to be a lot closer of a match, though.
Yeah. I love Yazdani also. You know, Yazdani, he's amazing, bro. But, yeah, I feel bad for that dude. If you have to have David Taylor or even Gabe Dean in your weight class, bro, they're different. They're on a different level.
It's like Gabe Dean, he made a return. Like, it's good. Like, I'm so happy I finally got to see him get revenge over Bo Nickel.
Oh, yeah, man.
I still will stand by that he was robbed in that national final. That was not a takedown, but, you know,
it's okay.
I think he needed this match, and this match would literally, you know, not so much of an accomplishment. It's just you're just, like, want to right all your wrongs before he might just retire at the end of this year too.
I see that happening. I see Cornell's been posting a little series on YouTube, and Gabe just talked about, like, this year he just wrestled because
He was doing that with Wrestling Changed My Life, I think, too.
That
dude's podcast is awesome. I think he was the reason I actually started this too.
Really? I haven't listened to the Wrestling Changed My Life podcast too much.
I think I think the Cornell one, I think he's partnering with Spartan Combat or something like that. They're all awesome at this point, you know? And I think Bashmania too, because he has, like, these superior connections where he can just talk to whoever he wants.
Yeah,
and he's out here pulling Gable Steveson to come in to talk to him, like, right after he wins the Big Ten title on a Zoom call. Like, if I had the ability to do that, like, I'd have, like, 100,000 followers by now, but, you know.
Yeah, it's going to take time.
Yeah. I'm in this for the long haul, though, so it's like, it's all right. But,
yeah.
I don't even think we start talking about your college career yet. Wow. Coming out of high school, no, you didn't wrestle, but you wrestled at these different tournaments like Fargo and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every kid's dream when they in sports is to become a D1 athlete and then make it to the pros, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of them actually accomplished it? And the sport of wrestling It's under like 0.2% that go D1.
Very few.
No, I'm assuming with all the circumstances, you know, you may have been a D1 talent, but again, you probably didn't have the ability to network and reach out to them at that point in your career.
That was you hit it the nail on the head. Like that basically is. I didn't have any Division I connections, you know. Like I think maybe Chattanooga and Campbell reached out to me. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, no one really, you know, hit me up, honestly.
Isn't what's his name? Kerry Collett still at Campbell?
Kerry Collett's at Navy now. Actually.
Is he just switching schools all over the place?
Yeah, he's just going.
Where? Dude, I think if you had Kerry Collett as your coach, that could have been something special. I know, but again, that's all retrospect at this point. So
it is.
Yeah.
Oh well.
What stood out to you about Lindsey Wilson compared to any other school out here?
Especially compared to other NAI schools, I would say. The environment, the wrestling room is amazing here. It's such a beautiful wrestling room. That was a big draw for me. It's just how like legit the wrestling room is. The coaches, really dedicated. Like they're both two really technical coaches, but neither one of them had any like crazy success in college or anything. Both of them state champs. That's it. Like they weren't amazing wrestlers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the wrestling room, I really like the attitude of the coaches. A big pull for me too was that there was a lot of Kentucky kids here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with it being in Kentucky, and I'm from Kentucky, so it was just I was very comfortable, and honestly, yeah, I was comfortable, and there's a great environment. It was so easy to talk to the coaches and the team, and I love being close to home. Also,
yeah, I think that was kind of the main thing for me. But again. My situation may be a little bit different because I wasn't nearly as successful as a wrestler as you were. I was kind of just fighting to get the opportunity to wrestle in college, you know. This platform actually helped me reach out to, you know, I got a chance to wrestle Division II level, which guys like me don't get the chance to do very often.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just looking for, again, a positive environment with, you know, coaches that were here to help me, you know, just become better of a wrestler rather than just treat me as like, oh, you're here, you're just – going to be, we need a practice partner for this guy, so you're just going to be here so he has somebody to practice with, but you're never going to be on the starter on the team.
Yeah, that I totally feel you. Honestly, I had like when I came to college, I like had no like goals. I mean, I was like, I want to wrestle in college. I think that's a big reason I didn't like try to reach out harder to Division I schools either, because I was kind of just like, yeah, I like wrestling, but not that much, and I kind of just wanted to do it in college, but I don't know. Like, it wasn't, like, the biggest thing in the world for me at the time, and I just wanted, like you said, I wanted someone who cared for me, loved me, you know? And so, for me, the environment was much more important than the division of the school, and thankfully, that helped me become pretty successful. Yeah.
So, you know, you're at Lindsey Wilson. I remember you were posting this thing on your story. It was like, did you attack the day or something like that?
Well, yeah, I just killed the weakness. Yeah,
something like that. I remember, obviously, like every day, and then you were going on these like, what's this bull run you're talking about? Like these 4 mile runs. This is like a 4 mile like sprint or something like that.
Yeah. So there's it's like out there, like on the road. There's this sign that says Bull Run Street, and it's actually a 12 mile street. So, some days I'd run 4 miles, some days I'd run 8, 6, 10, 12, just depending on the day. But I was constantly running almost every day while I was wrestling. And like right now I'm preparing for a marathon, so I'm running that almost every day too. So it's a gritty, grimy road. There's lots of hills. It's hot sometimes. It's really hot usually. I mean, you're super exposed. There's no shade. It's like, you know, it's a get after it run place. It's like where you got to go to get after it when you want to run.
How much are you weighing right now, actually?
235 right now. Yeah. Right now, 235.
Are you cutting anything for the marathon, or are you just trying to run out what you're at now?
I'm trying to cut. Like, so at Nationals this year, I was 248. Like, that was my – that's what I weighed in at, was 248. So I'm about 13 pounds down. I want to weigh about 225 when I run. I'm going to run an unofficial marathon on May 1st, and then I'm going to look into, like, paying to run a real one somewhere else. But, yeah, I'm looking to be, like, 225, 220. My diet's pretty clean right now. I'm just trying to get lean, just trying to push it, to be honest.
Yeah. No, what's your goal time for this? It was just, like, finish or?
Finish. No goal time. None at all.
Dude, that kind of shocked me when you told me you were trying to run a marathon. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I just want to finish it, man. I'm a heavyweight, bro. I'm not a fast runner, but I do run.
Yeah, it's like, I remember our coach, we would do quarter mile burnout runs. And that was like the death of me in high school. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in your freshman season. Did you even have the starting spot coming into college or?
No, I didn't. There was a guy named Raynell Brown who was over me. He was over me for like 6 or 7 weeks. And then once – you know how it goes. You get to college, you start practicing, you start developing, your body gets stronger, you get a little bit better. He was beating me at first. Kid wasn't even All-American, wasn't even top 20 in the country in the NAIA, you know. And he was beating me at first still just because he was an older guy in college. Eventually, you know, I started doing extra workouts, just getting my body. I was maturing, and by the time I started maturing a few weeks in, I started beating him pretty decently. And then I finally picked up the starting spot, and I think my first tournament was Midwest Classic, which is actually a D2 tournament. So, yeah.
How's your guys' qualification process where you just have, like, regionals and then you have the national tournament, right?
Yeah. So it's basically the same as Division I's. You have conference, and you get allocations based on the amount of ranked people in your conference. Mm-hmm. So, for example, heavyweight this year, there were 3 ranked guys, you know. So we had the one, the 3, and the 4 in my weight class. And so if you place top 3 in my conference, you made it to nationals. So it just depends on how many ranked guys are in the weight class is how many guys can go from that conference. Yeah.
I know that's interesting because the Big Ten had like 7 this year. Mm-hmm. And then you had Luffman, who was previously ranked 6th in the country, coming in 8th. So you had to pick up an at-large bid. Yeah.
Yes, and we have at-large bids also. So basically the same exact process.
So it's really only for like the one seed kind of throws.
Yes.
Yeah. So your freshman season, you know, you're going into just like the postseason tournaments for the first time, like at the actual like the next level, right? If you'd call it that.
Yeah.
What were your expectations for yourself going into this?
They weren't very good. I at conference, I wrestled this guy from another school who beat me twice during the year, and he beat the crap out of me again at conference. And then I was like, all right, well, this is a good season. But then I wrestled back for third. I didn't really think I was going to wrestle back for third, but I did. And then I qualified for nationals. And nationals, man, I was just like, whatever. Like, I'm going to train hard again, and I'm going to, you know, try and do my best or whatever. Didn't really have that big of goals. I just wanted to be an All-American. I ended up facing the returning national champ in the quarters, Demetrius Thomas, who actually ended up wrestling for Pitt.
Dude, he's a force. He, I think, was one match away from making the trials, too.
Yeah, he's very good. I lost to him 8-7. We had a battle, man. It was a good battle, man. Wow. That's probably up there with one of my favorite matches ever. I've never really been scared or nervous for matches, and when I got the opportunity to wrestle him, I was like, man, I'm coming after this dude's neck. And you know, I did. I came hard, and man, he just got – there was 10 seconds left in the match, and I was winning, I think, 7-6, and he blast-doubled me. He just started faking super hard, and he got me, and I was like, man. But like I told you, I didn't really have too many goals that year, so I just was like, okay, that's fine, whatever. And then I wrestled back and got 4th place. And
So, you know, even getting on the podium as a freshman is the same. Because what was it? Demetrius Thomas was a junior at that point or sophomore?
Sophomore.
Sophomore, right? And then he transferred to Pitt the following season.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so, you know, and he'd had a hell of a career, you know? He was an All-American his senior year, but unfortunately, you know, got taken away because COVID. And, you know, 2024, you know, possibly he could make the Olympic trials. You know, I don't know about an Olympic team, but
yeah,
you know, he can make the trials.
Yeah, I think he'll make the trials eventually. I think he'll make the trials.
Because I think, I think Wood did beat him, so he didn't need a chance to wrestle for a true second. You know,
which is crazy.
That Jordan Wood at the last chance qualifier looked like the Jordan Wood that almost beat Mason Paris at senior nationals. You know, it didn't look like Jordan Wood was on that at the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And, I say Wood's a 9 seed, right? He has Garrett Ryan in the first round. If he beats Garrett Ryan, which I think he will,
yeah,
he could very well present Nick Gwizdowski with some problems because he's one of those guys who makes you work for every single takedown you get.
Yeah, I think so too. He's super technical and he knows how to scramble really well too, even though people don't really know that. He can scramble amazing.
And Gwiz was literally known for scrambling in college.
Yeah.
So literally. That could, you know, I do think Gwiz probably 10-0s him, but it's going to be probably – it's not going to be super quick like people think it was. He's not just going to let you lock up a lace and just keep rolling them over.
No, I don't, you know? I agree with you.
Yeah. If you saw that match with them, I'm pretty sure you did Mason Paris at Senior Nationals, right? If Wood didn't give up the two on that crotch lock, he wins that match.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Little positions win the matches. Yeah. That's the great
thing. Like Tanner Hall, like – I'll say right now, I don't like the dude. I'm not a big fan of his wrestling style in general. You know, he's one of those guys who like people like heavyweights just stall. Like that's like the epitome of that.
He is. He's kind of boring, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. And then like he hits a 7 seed. I think 7 seed's fine for him, but Gabe was even first round.
You know? He's done with Denzel. I think he's gonna go. They're doing wrestle backs. He's going to be going to the barbecue probably, in my opinion. Yeah.
I know Dom wants revenge at Tanner Hall too, so.
Yeah.
For that one
match.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
I remember he was in the interview. He was like, I lost to Tanner Hall because I smacked him too hard. And I was like, damn.
I remember that. He gave up a point.
I'd like to see Dom versus
That's a match I want to see.
Dom versus Gwiz?
Oh, Mason. Yeah.
Personally, again, I've said Dom is number 3 until proven otherwise, you know. Given the way senior nationals went, I understand why Mason's the 3 seed, but that Dom's also not a guy who's going to come out there and tech you. Like, he knows how to keep close matches, right? And Paris being a volume shooter could either benefit him a lot or hurt him massively against a guy like Dom Bradley.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if either of those guys tech each other 10-0. I wouldn't be, like, it could go like that.
I have a 2-0 match, 2-0 match.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, I don't see how it's physically possible for Dom Bradley to get dumped by Mason Paris, but I also didn't think it was possible for Tony Castillo to get dumped by Mason Paris.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Granted, Dom's those are smart. Two different calibers of dudes, but, you know.
Yeah, I felt it personally, man. Mason's dump is tricky. It's really tricky. And I know. I feel like I have a pretty good dump, too, but it's weird.
I'm pretty sure the only people he can not hit that on are literally Gable because he's just so much of a freak athlete. Curry Fleet, again, is just so long and impossible to hit that on, right?
Yeah.
And Gwiz is just – he's the most technical of a wrestler this weight class has seen in a while.
I'd
put him above Torvald Lognev. And people are going to be mad at me if I put him above Steve Mako too. But Mako, I'll be honest, I don't think he would survive in this class of heavyweights now.
I don't like Mako, man. I never did. It's just a little boring.
Dude was literally built like round. Like, I don't know how to say that without coming out of an asshole, though. But like, that's what he was. Yeah. Dude. Like, if you saw Steve Mako versus Cole Conrad, I think 2006, something like that.
That was boring. I can never watch that match.
Yeah, I know.
I hate that.
Like, I thought Kuhn versus Snyder in the national finals was boring, but, like, at the end of the day, that's, like, it was Snyder essentially stalling and waiting for his opportunities and Kuhn trying to go upper body with him. That match with Cole Conrad and Steve Mako was literally just a stall fest.
It was horrible. I mean, I genuinely do not like him. I feel kind of bad for all of our reps, honestly. Whoever gets the heavyweight rep is – Man, Gino Petrushvili and Tahar Gul are just.
And then what's the guy's name? Kasimboy Rakhimov from Uzbekistan. I know Gable wants that match back because he pinned Gable Stevenson with that
leg
drop.
When did you pin?
Junior Worlds, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. I do think. I know it's weird that I've envisioned this, but like the only guys I could truly see winning a gold medal is Mason Paris. I don't know why, but I think that dump may just work against those guys.
I think so too, man. I
think
Mason, it's just him making the team, though. Yeah. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, I do really think that everybody in this weight class is outclassed by Taha Agul and Gino Petrushvili. But again, we've seen guys go down before, so. It's who shows up then, you know. I know Gino's beaten Taha the past couple of years, but again, Taha won when it's most important.
It's this close. It's super close.
I can't wait for that. Like, I'll be honest. And, you know, again, I guarantee you people are going to come at me because I picked Gable third or something like that in this weight class.
Nah, man. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah.
You know. I wish it was okay to talk trash to foreign dudes. That would have been funny. But, like, you can't do that.
No, it'll be seen a little too disrespectful, I guess.
Yeah, that's the difference between, like, talking crap back and forth to Mason Paris. That's one thing. That's just for publicity. If you say something to Agul, that's, like, you getting shot.
Yeah, dude, man, I don't know. I feel like you should just be able to do whatever you want as long as you're not, you know, hurting nobody.
Yeah.
It would make it more interesting. I mean, we don't even hear nothing about Taha Agul or Gino Petrushvili when they're not wrestling
worlds. Yeah, 100%. Kind of stuff. But, yeah, so, you know, I think, what was it, your junior year of the national finals, probably one of the most interesting matches. I think you said that was probably viewed as the best match of your career by most people.
Yes, of course. I think it was the best match of my career because it was probably, I mean – I don't know what to call Tanner Farmer. Like, I don't know if he's the highest caliber wrestler I beat or not, honestly.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I think qualifying for the Olympic trials just because it's Greco, I would say still it is. I would still consider Tanner Farmer the best.
Yeah.
Because again, I agree. Schultz is a Greco dude, but how do you do in freestyle? How do you do in folkstyle? Like, he did pretty damn well. Fourth place finish. You know, I would say only lost to Cassiope because Cassiope wrote him out. And that's just a common theme. You see freshmen getting written out on bottom. Like, Kurt Fleet, I think, could have very well beaten everybody in his wake-ups if he didn't get written out on bottom. But, you know, that's – and Gable could have beaten Kassar, didn't get written out on bottom. Paris would have beaten Sam Stoll.
Bottom.
Yeah, bottom. That's what it is, you know. Again, it's an unfortunate matchup in the round of 32. Mason Paris versus Sam Stoll, but – it happens, you know. Sam Stoll almost beat Gable Stevenson in the quarterfinals of Big Ten, so it's not too bad of a loss to have.
No, it's not. But yeah, I'd say Tanner Farmer match. It's definitely, I mean, it's my favorite match to watch too. And I don't know. He's a great wrestler, man. Mm-hmm. I think he could have. I mean, I honestly believe both me and him could have placed at the D1 national tournament at least at one point. No.
Yeah, I think so. I think 2019 would have been the year.
Yeah, I think so too. I think 2020 would have been a little bit tough. Those guys were – it was just – or 2021, I mean.
Yeah.
Just a freaking amazing class, man.
Tate Orndorff, I think, at the 21 seed was just plain disrespectful, but that's – I'm happy that he placed because this man had, like, so much shit against him. Because he was losing, like, 1 or 2 point matches, right? It's like when team score is not an issue and you're a Greco dude – and you're losing a match, what are you going to look for? Your throws, right?
Yes.
And if he went for that and he pinned himself, it's like, it's looked at so bad by the outside people. Like, people don't realize if you're a heavyweight and you're on your back against the caliber of Tony Cassiope, you're essentially, there's no point in bridging at that point. Yeah.
Yep. So I actually wrestled Tane Orndorff from Greco last year, 2 years ago.
How'd that go?
He smacked me, man.
Dude, he's good. Like, he doesn't look like – because he just looks like one of those, like, those chubby dudes. But he's, like – he's legitimately good of a wrestler. Like, he can shoot below the ankles, too. Like, people don't expect that. Like, people –
he's really good.
Yeah. I know when people were saying attacking below the knee as a heavyweight was something special. Like, now everybody can do that at the D1 level.
Yeah.
Like, even these guys who are cutting to 285.
Yeah, you get one good shot and you do it. It feel, I mean, personally for me, that's like kind of the only way I like to wrestle. I don't really like upper body too much. I don't really know why I wrestled with Greco, but I tried.
You
And
gotta do what you gotta do. Shoot your shot.
yeah, but Orndorff, man, he's a lot better than people think he is. And I mean, he showed it, he proved it.
I'm happy that he placed just so people would shut up about that. And you know, guys, the people are like, he avenged pretty much every loss except for Trent Hoger, who I think was just sort of better than him at that point.
I think so too. I sucks that Gary Traub is transferring now.
Yeah, I
He's a
don't.
good guy.
Yeah, he's a really good wrestler. I just don't think at Nationals with the weight class that's evolving, his gas tank is gonna have that much of an impact on his matches anymore.
No, I he's one of my friends. I trained with him a little bit too. Same place that me and Mason trained. We just kind of met in the middle in Ohio. And man, he's a good wrestler, man. I wrestled with him. I agree. Like just wrestling him myself, yeah, gas tank's not enough if there's a lot of technique with it, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
It's
Because you saw that with him wrestling Kerfoot, right? It went bad to say the least, you know?
yeah.
Again, Kerfoot is also one of these prodigies that's coming into the field.
Yeah, once Kirk gets like 20 more pounds on him or 15 more pounds on him, man, he's great.
Because he tore his ACL too and he lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah,
I
I know, that's
wholeheartedly
crazy.
think that the Kerfoot we saw before the season started at the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club cards, the one that teched Demetrius Thomas in like 30 seconds,
Yes.
he could very well win this weight class. But this Kirk now is like, it's possible. I wouldn't count it out, but it's what it is.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that, man. He destroyed Demetrius.
And Yusuf Umeda too, who's a two-time All-American.
Yeah, U23 silver medalist too.
Hamida beat Cassiope at U23s. You know, I was severely doubting. I had Cassiope placed in 7th at the beginning of this year, just because it was just looking like he was going to get surpassed by everybody in this field. But then, you know,
Me
now
too.
I'm starting to think Hamida just got that good.
Hamida is really good. Mason rest. Hamida is up at Michigan right now. Cliff Keen and Mason said he's an amazing partner too. He's a beast, man.
It's like. Like Paris is
I'd
gonna
love to play
have, I think Coons probably, again, yeah, I don't know how that really works out with Coons just being a straight Greco dude, but
He's like their training situation as far as that goes. Yeah, I mean, when me and him trained, he talked about it a lot. He doesn't really get to train with that many shooters who are heavyweights, you know. So that's kind of what we train together.
No, you win over Tanner Farmer, obviously your signature win on your career. You know, you beat a guy who made the Olympic trials. And not many guys coming out of the NAIA ranks or not even D2 or D3 ever get the opportunity to make the trials.
For
You just had
sure.
your senior season. I'm pretty sure you won your national final pretty handily, right?
Yeah, 6-3, three takedowns, three waves.
I would consider that pretty handily, right? You know. For heavyweight match, three takedowns to none.
It wasn't the most challenging, to be honest with you.
He was from Grandview, right? Something like that.
Grandview, they're really good. He was a really good kid too, man. He was, I think he was like 25-0 going into our match,
I mean,
and he was ranked in the top 10 at 220 last year at high school. He was a good. He was a freshman. I mean, it was just like I felt just like older and just better, and it's just kind of like, and it was weird. It was a really good national tournament for me because I pinned all my first four guys in the first period. Never did that before, so that felt nice getting four pins.
That's insane just to think about, you know, in general. But, you know, we talked about it. Your career is, you know, is there any chance you will wrestle again?
I mean, it would not be in college if I did, you know. It wouldn't be a college thing, but I mean, I'll be here for 2 more years. I mean, we have a RTC like here in Kentucky, so it's and it's at my school, so I still train and stuff with the guys. So like if I was maybe like next year, maybe I might go to the U.S. Open, possibly. It just depends on how I'm feeling. I'm also a jiu-jitsu guy, so I've been doing jiu-jitsu for a while. So I actually have jiu-jitsu practice in a few hours. And so it just depends on how that goes. I'll probably start competing in jiu-jitsu now officially during the summer. And, man, I'm just – it just depends on life, you know. Yeah. But right now I'm thinking if I do wrestle again, I don't know. It's like I would say it's a 20% chance that I get on the mats again. Yeah.
So, you know, just in general, you know, you've had – it's just crazy, like, actually knowing how your career played out, you know, just starting off as, like, just like a casual overweight kid, you know, how most heavyweights really are coming to the sport. You transformed yourself, didn't even have the chance to wrestle your senior year. Going to college, you know, most freshmen don't even get the starting spot. You didn't. Freshman All-American. And then you won out with 3 national titles, you know. And you ended your career on top. Yeah. You know, you go down as one of the best NAI wrestlers, I think, ever.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
Yeah, it's like – that's just incredible the way because people – you know, I think Anthony Cassaro is the best example of this. You know, you go, he only won one state title, only qualified for states once, only won one national title, only qualified for nationals once. And meanwhile, Gable is this prodigy out here who was bred to be like the best there ever is since he was young. Mm-hmm. You know, he's literally named after Dan Gable.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Cassaro's legacy will always stand because he beat one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think I agree.
I don't know if that's entirely comparable, but, you know, again, you started off, you know, not good, and then you're out here, you know. So the future, what does the future hold?
For now, I mean, the near future, I'm going to Colombia for 2 weeks just to, you know, go enjoy a new country and stuff. And then I'll be coaching for the next 2 years, getting my master's degree in human services and counseling. And then after that, possibly getting my doctorates or possibly just getting a coaching job. But you know how that goes, you know, anything can happen in 2 years, you know. So, and then, like I said, I'll be competing in jiu-jitsu for sure. I'll be training guys here as much as possible. Just trying to get better, man, running marathons and just, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a way to, you know, have some type of platform to where I can kind of be inspirational and motivational. I just spoke with our girls soccer team yesterday before their conference tournament. I had a really good speech with them. I'm going to speak with the trustees of my college next week, and it's just going to be basically trying to get as much speaking opportunities as possible to tell my story and tell how, like, wrestling impacted my life and stuff. So hopefully, man, I just get a lot of practice speaking, and hopefully I can, you know, maybe, like, you want to make money with your podcast and stuff and be able to, and hopefully I get the chance to just speak and live the life, coaching and speaking, you know, that would be my perfect life is doing those things.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Yo. Honestly, if you just hit me up, I can help you get started with like a page and everything too.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'll hit you up then try to start doing something.
Yeah. So, you know, as we start to wrap things up, you know, this was one of the most requested people. You want me on the podcast, 3-time NAI champion, 4-time NAI All-American. Probably one of the most inspirational stories I've heard so far. I remember I saw the article about, you know, all that you've had to go through and where you are now. You know, that's crazy to think about. You know, you want to become a coach at the college level. That's awesome. You're coaching at your former alma mater. I think that's what it's called, right? And, you know, it's just fantastic to see how things went down. So, no. Thank you guys for listening to Late Night Shots podcast. It's been episode 70 featuring Brandon Reed, and we will see you guys again next time.